All right. And we are going to start today's show with a special challenge.
A challenge.
We already have a challenge. We need 20 clicks or calls during this hour. And if we get them, we'll get $600 extra for this membership campaign. Thank you to Paul and Stan and James from San Francisco and Livermore. Thanks so much for putting up this money. But we'll only get it if you call or click during Cross Currents right now. Go to 800-525-9917. Give us a call there or online at klw.org.
A click is as good as a call, as we like to say here.
That's right. And so, Jen, you do a lot of the arts programming here at KALW.
That's right.
Your project, Sights and Sounds. Tell us a little bit about what that is.
So Sights and Sounds is a kind of umbrella term for a few of the different arts things that we do. One of them is our weekly segment that I host, where we ask local artists to tell us their recommendations for arts events for that week, for that weekend. And that's a way for us to get to know things that we might not know about otherwise. Then we air longer interviews with those same artists on Cross Currents, where we get to just talk to them about their art and what it means to them, and what it means to them to be a part of the Bay Area community. And then one of my favorite things we do is also these live events where we go out into the community and we invite listeners and just anyone to come and enjoy storytelling and live arts programming. We just did a great one last month called Sights and Sounds of East Oakland.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You were there. I saw you there.
Yes, and many of us were there and totally enjoyed it. What inspires you to cover art in particular?
Well, I actually, before I got into radio, I have a long background as a performer. I've been a dancer since I was a little kid. And then I...
Oh, what kind of dance?
All kinds of dance. I did the, as they call it, holy triumvirate when I was little, of ballet, tap, and acrobatics. But then I branched out into modern and contact improvisation and dance theater and all kinds of craziness. And then I've moved into radio, but I still have a lot of roots and a lot of branches in that world. Mm-hmm. And so I really like to bring that stuff to the air.
And for Sights and Sounds, last time you partnered with Oakland Voices.
That's right.
Tell me about that.
Oakland Voices is this amazing journalism training program, and it's jointly run by the Maynard Institute of Journalism and the Oakland Tribune. Mm-hmm. And it's a way for residents of East Oakland to get journalism training and to be able to tell stories about their own neighborhoods and their own lives.
All right. Well, we're going to go hear one right now. But in the meantime, give us a call, 800-525-9917 or klw.org. Let's hear the story.
Okay. So
I live with my grandmommy, Ann Attaway, on 2657 67th Avenue from August 2006 to May 2012 and enjoyed every minute of it. But a series of events killed my joy. My grandmommy became a victim of predatory lending. The mortgage ballooned, and on January 25th, 2012, she lost her home of over 40 years to foreclosure.
That's how we bought it. We had saved up our little money. Let's see. You hadn't been born yet.
It was devastating to her because this was the home she bought with my gramps in 1968 with a loan, 50-cent pieces and silver dollars. Now my grandmommy lives in Stockton, far away from her old neighborhood in a senior facility.
And I'm still moving in craziness in here. They're still renovating my apartment. Mm-hmm. Because they got to put a new fixtures in the bathroom. You know, for me to hold on before I fall and hurt myself in the tub, you know.
Yeah. The foreclosure was devastating to me because I felt like I should have done more to help her fight it. Or maybe if I had a job, we could have kept the house. I don't know how to forgive myself and get past it. So recently, I went back a second time. I felt like I was finally ready to face what had happened and really talk with the people I had known. Dogs are barking. People are working on the yards. I feel like a stranger, but almost like I'm still part of the neighborhood.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Oh, my goodness.
My grandmommy's former neighbor is still here. She lives a few doors down. Her name is Jessie Brown, but grandmommy always called her Miss Brown, so I call her that too.
Well, this young lady, I knew her when she was like that. I can't believe it.
Miss Brown was like the team captain in the neighborhood. She organized block parties during National Night Out, and with her leadership, all the neighbors learned to watch out for each other.
Practically everybody on the street does. Everybody called me Mama Brown, you know. Even the gangsters. I got a few gangsters around. Yeah. But they even check on me, you know.
But as more and more people leave, she says the neighborhood isn't like a family the way it used to be.
So I'm in the process now of trying to get the new people to know one another.
Gentrification might be coming to East Oakland, but the bigger picture for Miss Brown is that over the years she's lived here, she's watched the neighborhood become more dangerous.
When I move here, I'm an alterationist person. My business is in the back of the house. I turned my garage into an alteration place. Mm-hmm. I could leave that front door open. I didn't have any bars on it like you see now, just a screen. I could work out at 12, 1 o'clock at night, and very comfortable. Now I have to lock the door if I'm going to the garbage can.
Being back in the neighborhood was hard for me. It's hard to picture it dangerous. I always felt safe, even walking at night. But by the time I left, I too noticed the change. I've always dealt with hardships through my poetry and spoken word. And since my grandmommy's foreclosure, I've been writing a lot.
A city that's forgotten them. I see the leftovers. Only a handful of leftovers. Gun shells in the ground have created another art piece. Murals decorate empty walls, vacant buildings, storefronts, and homes tell the story. Where have the people gone? Who's gonna save them when the ghosts live here now? Who's occupying the place, making space? Because we've been uprooted, dragged, pushed, and pulled.
I'm not the only one to tackle the effects of displacement through art. Other artists I know and admire have done this too. Davin Thompson, a.k.a. Dudat, has a similar story. His mother's house was also foreclosed.
It feels like having the rug pulled out from under you. And it feels like, I know moving out of my home, and my parents had been there for about 40 years. So for me personally, it was like reliving your life, you feel me? And like packing up somebody else's life at the same time and just like really like closing out of a chapter. And I guess like me being an artist, you feel me? I have a talent to kind of express that and to talk about it, you know what I mean? And really like put it in perspective.
I know what he means. Foreclosure made me feel like I had to start my life all over again. Dudat says these stories of urban change get told a lot. Even stories about people like him. But rarely do we hear the stories told by people like him.
I want to be able to speak to my life and my observations around like what's in my community and my hood. And I won't front, like, you feel me? I wasn't in the trap, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't like in the hood like that, you feel me? But I still got eyes, I got partners who live that life, you feel me? I can see. You know what I mean? Not only can I see, I can think.
You know what's funny? If we go back in the history of Oakland.
Mr. Birch is a rapper out of East Oakland.
Majority of Caucasian people lived in East Oakland, and we all was in the West.
His mother also lost her home due to foreclosure. Mr. Birch thinks housing displacement starts with a different kind of displacement. Feeling displaced or excluded from society, period. It starts with not having things that it seems like everybody else does. Like two parents, functional schools, a future. And that's what makes it easy to sell out the small things that we actually do have.
You have a whole bunch of people sitting in a home selling dope out their grandmother's house. We're not knowing, like, grandma worked this hard for this house. Mm-hmm. We're not keeping things together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we're not keeping it for our future children and our grandchildren and things of that nature. We're not owning anything. We're losing it and giving it to somebody else, and then we're just moving somewhere else just because it's cheaper. But then they're going to turn around and do the same thing once we move there.
I know Mr. Birch has written about this in his work. I highlighted too in my poems about how our grandparents, great-grandparents, and ancestors would view the situation today.
I wasn't around to see the tears, the blood being spilt, guns blazing, hoses gushing. But I see their faces gazing somewhere, thinking about way back when. I could put my fingers in the dents and trace where it all began. Tears rushing, creating rivers. Their faces tell storylines. It's seeped in the bloodlines. Complacency in empty homes and in communities. Fragmented, lost hope, no hope. A city that's forgotten.
Thinking about this brings me back to Miss Brown. While talking with her, I expressed for the first time my frustration and shame.
I'm sorry. I really have been wanting to come by for a while. I think a lot of it is just really upset, sad, that my grandma lost her home. And I feel like she's still there. And I'm about to cry because just going through that whole process was really hard to watch her. I never really discussed it. I only wrote it in my poems.
That's the bad part. You never discussed it. See, when you don't talk about it, you have to have somebody you can talk to. It's like therapy.
It still hurts. But I'm relieved now after talking with Miss Brown and my grandmommy. And now I finally have the courage to face my fears, forgive myself, and let the healing continue by sharing my spoken word until displacement doesn't happen again.